All right, so it was in a bar in a basement of a building down Wellington North in Sherbrooke that in the summer of 1994, I first saw Our Lady Peace. And it happened, it did. And the kind of interesting thing was, initially I had gone to that show to see 5440.
Ah, right. Thank you.
So the funny thing was, a few weeks earlier, I had been to Canada Day in Ottawa, had seen 5440, chatted with them after the show. And then, so when they came to town here to little old Sherbrooke, it was, I snagged Phil, a guitarist with the band, and started visiting with him and that sort of thing. And then Our Lady Peace takes the stage. And there's Rain Mehta sitting there with a broken leg, I think it was.
Oh, I had a cast. That's right. I had a cast.
And I was like, this is complete rock and roll. We're in a dingy, crazy basement. This place is probably the most giant fire hazard ever. People packed in there, and you guys just blew us all away. What a great show that was.
That's funny.
Now there is a triumphant return about to take place. You guys are coming back to play La Fête du Lac, which is just a booming festival for this area. Something that
is it really?
Yeah,
great.
Yeah. It's such a fun, high-spirited event every year, and really anticipated. I know people constantly go to the website to see if they updated, if they said who the players are for this year, who's coming on stage, you know. So what a big thrill for townshipers to see that Our Lady Peace is coming back to visit us. That's pretty cool stuff.
Great. Awesome. Well, yeah, I mean, we are, obviously we haven't been there for a long time, so we're very excited. But Quebec in general for us, you know, it's funny because even before we had a record deal, we would go to Montreal and play shows. I don't know why. Maybe it was something to do with the Toronto scene was kind of so incestuous, but it felt like in Montreal, it's kind of like Europe. You know, you can just go there and play music, and people have the opportunity to like music just for the sake of liking music.
Yeah, to
just
go.
A different connection, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, in Toronto, it felt like when we were starting, if you weren't like the hipster band, or, you know, it was tough to get people to come out and see you, but so Quebec's always been like a second home to us that way. We just, you know, it's funny. I just got off a plane from the UK, and even over there, you know, it's like playing. I don't know. There's just a mentality about the arts and music, which is really refreshing.
Well, speaking of refreshing, it took me until today to finally get to witness your new video for As Fast As You Can. Wow.
Right.
Okay, now I've followed you guys for now. This is like 20 years we're talking about of music, and which is kind of strange. I'm like, wow, Our Lady Peace is coming of age, but I don't think that has to happen, you know. So As Fast As You Can, it's first of all, big Looney Tunes fan. So as soon as I saw the big circle, I was like, oh, okay, they're winning right now. There's some winning stuff happening, and I think it's my favorite, like the single that I have enjoyed the most of yours right off. It's got a dirty garage band feel, and but it's you guys, you know? So it's still true to all the fans. Tell me about still doing this and coming up with something that's gritty and fresh and fun like this.
Yeah, I mean, you know what? I think what we've learned over the years, because we've definitely had, you know, as any artist, you have your ups and downs. You know, you have your kind of blue periods, and you have those moments when you feel like you're being, you know, very kind of, it's just like diarrhea. You're just, there's so much stuff coming out. And this song, for whatever reason, it was just born very quickly. You know, I wrote the song and literally in like 3 minutes, I wrote it in my head first, and I almost, you know, it's one of those moments when you think you have an idea that's good, and then something distracts me, and I'm like, you know what, if it's great, I'll remember it. And then I never do, usually, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
It's one of those moments, you know, like when you have a dream. But this is one of those songs where I was like, you know what, I think I better just, so I grabbed my iPhone, and I hummed the melodies into it, and it's like, I went and took a shower, then I went right down in the studio and demoed it up, and sent it around to those guys, to the guys in the band, and then it was one of those things. As soon as we got in the room, everyone started playing it. It just took on this, like you said, this really kind of rock and roll thing that was just perfect for it. So it wasn't forced. You know, I think it's, those are always the best songs. When I look back on what I loved, what we still love to play, and what I think are like the most genuine things from us, it's always when it just happens. And, you know, I don't know how to tap into that. It's just one, I think you have to be open. I think if anything I've learned is like, you have to be open to those things happening.
Oh, I'm sure that's what it is.
You just can't control it though. So when it happens, I thank God. And then the video too is one of those things where we had, you know, all these different treatments from people. But then this one guy, Maxis, you know, he sent like two sentences. He just said, "This song is amazing. Let's make an incredible video for this." And you go, and I just knew he was a creative person. So then that's all it took. Like, he just really loved the song. He didn't want to put something down until he felt like something had come to him as well.
Yeah.
You know, so he wasn't just going to submit something that he submitted to 20 other artists. He just said, "I don't know what it is about this song. I can love it. I don't know exactly right now what the concept should be, but if you go with me, let's just develop something that the same thing is really intrinsic and honest to the song." So I was just, you know, so all the way along, it's just been this really exciting journey just with this one song. And it's one of my favorite videos, if not my favorite one as well.
Oh, it's so great. There's this concept of kind of like an apartment building, sort of a trashy kind of falling apart place. At least that's what I'm kind of seeing from it, because you kind of see an interaction between floors at some point when there's somebody who's kind of
it's supposed to be an old tenement building in Brooklyn or something, you know, where just cast of characters, you know, little glimpses of life, you know, on different levels. And but it's like, I caught, when we finally came up with this concept, I felt it was like, you know what, this is great, because it's like happy creepy.
Yes,
you know, it's not over the, it's got both. And that's really what life is.
Yeah, it's not too dark. It's got a little and there's so much character in this kind of decrepit rooms. Like, they've got there's still a vibrancy and it really, really suits the song. I think it gives it that much more character. But I don't know, I maybe this comes from growing up and being a kid of the video era, where I still really want my favorite performers to put together something that I like to see, you know. It doesn't have to be costly or overly complicated, but cleverness is important. And I think you guys hit the nail on the head with this one. It's good and grimy.
Well, I'm glad you did. Away, we all have the same opinion on it. We all are just, I mean, I love playing the song, and I just love that we have like this thing that feels, you know, like we were talking about, just feels so authentic to us. It's not like we're trying to fit in with something, or, you know, we put a four on the floor dance beat under a song. You know, it's just, it's definitely us, but it feels fresh, which is pretty amazing. Like you said, 20 years in.
Yeah. I was thinking on my way here to the studio, about the idea. I was like, well, what is this for these guys? Because there have been all kinds of sort of comparisons that are a little cliched, like the idea of a marriage or the idea of whatever. And I was like, but it's not really like a marriage. It's kind of more like, it's more like friendships that have to last a long time, you know, that sometimes it just does not. So it's like a family sort of too. It's all that blend of emotion and loyalty or be like being okay with calling it quits at times or being able to be away from each other at times. I can't imagine what it's like in rock and roll to make something last a couple of decades.
Well, I mean, we use, you know, on Curve, we use this fighter analogy, the whole George Favalo. To me, there was something very valuable in the way that correlates to being a band. To be honest, it really stems even further. You know, when you're talking about fighter, for me, it's like being a soldier. It's like being in this little army and being, you know, having to fight together, having to go through the bullet of, like, you know, as a soldier, you have to really, you know, you have to count on each other. There's a serious amount of trust and loyalty that has to go into that type of thing. So I think we feel like we're battle tested now, in a sense.
Yeah.
You know, so, and with that, once you kind of are able to kind of not talk that through, but just absorb that, internalize it, and realize it, it's been an amazing thing for this band, because it's just allowed us to be free again in a way that I don't think we have been for a while. You know, I think we got caught up in a lot of the bullshit of the music business and our label kind of disintegrating, you know, just everything that's gone gone down in the business of music, because we were signed to, you know, Columbia Records in New York, and all the pressures that go with having some hit songs and selling a bunch of records. I always thought that we weren't distracted by it, and I would always, you know, justify it in my head. But at the end of the day, you are. You know, it's not until you're free of it that you realize, you know what? Yeah, we made some bad decisions because of the pressure, you know.
Well, you're at the mercy of decisions, you know. You can't, it must be very difficult to really feel like you can create in the way that you set out to when you're kind of trapped in a machine, you know. It loses the, I don't know, that must be a weird creative
space. And you know what, I mean, we went through it, and I think the good thing with us is no one's really bitter, because we're still together and we're still making what we think is viable music. I think that stuff is kind of, you know, it's like, it's just part of our past, you know, and it's got us to where we are. So you don't kind of, I don't know, I don't have any bitter feelings or any kind of resentment to any of those decisions. Just, you know, it's all, life is just all a learning curve, and we were able to get through it. And that's where the whole fighter mentality comes through, because I think at the end of the day, we have that thick skin, which has been amazing.
Yeah.
And I think there was definitely moments where it was bad, man. It was so bad, and the music was bad, and just everyone's attitude, and just it was dark. But you know, it's part of life. You got through it, and now things couldn't really be better.
Well, I guess it's that phoenixing thing that if you are tenacious enough to, and are able to dig your fingernails in enough to survive it somehow, or just all of a sudden wake up and you are able to open the doors of the root cellar and get out of there, you know, like in whichever analogy you want to kind of take it in, that something else can grow that's good. You know, it can. So is
absolutely.
So is that the idea of curve? Is it the learning curve? That was one of the things I was wondering about. That's what I would say. Like, I'm, you know, in my late 30s now, and I would say that I feel like I finally hit a certain kind of learning curve that I never could have tapped into when I was younger, you know, and as a result have lived through all kinds of things. And I can only assume that would be something similar as a band growing up.
Absolutely. I mean, I think the best way for me to describe it in like a parallel way is all the amazing things that happened to us as we were, you know, having so much success and touring the world. I don't remember any of them.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, you're just so focused. You're so kind of, I guess, narcissistic in a way, you know, and I take everything in. Now, like, making this video was like, it wasn't just about like what's going to get played or, you know, what does everyone think the best. It was really about just being on that collaborative level with Maxis. This song was in this record. It's really about the little moments, like finding a great lyric, enjoying like a drum take in the studio by Jeremy. It's just about when you start to enjoy all the little things, then what you end up with is great. Because you really took the time all along the way, and it's never about looking too far in the future for us anymore. It's really about living in the moment.
That's...
And so on an artistic level, I think there's definitely a maturity to that, because like I said before, you're just always so focused on what's next, you know, and sucks. You miss everything, you know, when you're young like that. And I feel like definitely from like 25 for me to 35, I blew it. I missed it all, you know?
Yeah. Well, I don't think you had much of a choice really, Rain. Like when you're that deep in it, where else are you going to go? You know, it's a question of soldiering on, which you guys did. So, and thank goodness.
Yeah, I think so. I think when you look back on like 60s music, if I look back at like Zeppelin or the Stones, or not really the Beatles because that was insane, but you just look at photos from all those or any documentaries on those bands, even from Pink Floyd and stuff, it's like you weren't inundated with so much back then. Like, they could just be artists.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
These days it's like, especially over the last, you know, 10 years, it's like there's no way you could just be artists. You have to wear all these different hats and stuff. So I think for us, even though we own everything and we're like, we own our own business, which is amazing, but I think for some reason we are able to just be more artists again.
Well, I think one of the things that maybe the machine is missing, and one of the things that maybe they're starting that probably could do everybody a big favor is there isn't a lot of breathing room, and it seems like maybe that's something that's been very hard won for you guys, but you finally have it, and it's you can sort of stretch out a little bit now and not have to be so uptight and in that thing, because it just seems like I don't think a band ever wants to see themselves become a radio song, like where people are like, wow, I really like this song until you played it 400 times an hour, you know, like,
yep.
Yes, you want visibility. Yes, you want fans. Yes, you want to grow with the thing that you've made. And yet at the same time, you don't want to beat your fans over the head with it either. So it's kudos to Breathing Room. And I really feel like that's what Curve has got. You guys have stretched out some muscles here, and it's really a beautiful, refreshing, badass thing. And it's really, it's edgy. I love it. It's great.
Yeah. Thank you. It's like this tipping point for the band in the sense of like being able to do this, like on our own terms and loving every song and not feeling like if As Fast As You Can becomes a hit, perfect, that's great. But it was never conceived like that. You know, it was just this really kind of small, little, honest, cool song that we had a lot of fun recording. And all the songs that have served us the best over the years have always had that feeling. And it's just a reaffirmation, you know, I guess, later in your career where you feel like, yeah, that's right. Okay, that feeling we get, like that moment when you feel like it's just, like the most special thing, because it's just the four of you guys in a room creating something. That's, you just got to get as close to that on every song. And this time, man, there were songs with what you would probably call hit choruses that we just threw away because it just felt like, you know what, we've done this before. It sounds so tried. Yeah, maybe it sounds like a hit chorus, and maybe we're shooting ourselves in the foot, but we can't do it. Like we just couldn't do it again.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I know if we would have played them for management or, you know, any publicity people or anyone that, you know, the radio, they would have probably said, oh my God, this is it. You guys did it. But we just couldn't go through with it. And I'm so glad that, you know, really for probably the first time we were all of us, like all four of us sat there and said, yep, who cares? Like, we don't need this.
Yeah.
It's not, it doesn't sound authentic enough.
That is real rock and roll. That's really, that is a, wow. How am I supposed
to live? So as soon as, but what happens is as soon as you have, like literally it was a conversation we've had a few times in the studio making Curve. As soon as you have that, then you feel like a rebel. You know what I mean? You feel like you get that, that's where the edge of the record comes in, because it felt like, you know what, we're not going to placate to whatever, you know, we've been taught that radio wants from us or expects or our fans expect. We'd like, that's, we're not doing that. So it's like you feel like this amazing liberty, and it just, that energy in the studio was so powerful after we, you know, every time we made that decision, it just felt like, wow, we're really actually trying to do something different here, not just a few songs, because on records we always had these great songs that were different, but then, you know, there's been moments when we get persuaded by like a Bob Rock or whoever, like, you have to record that song, New York's gonna love it, you know. Or that's a hit song, and so you get sucked into that whole thing when you hear someone like Bob Rock saying that. But you know, now we understand who we want to be.
That's a learning curve.
Yeah, that's it. It is. You know, I wish we would have learned it 10 years ago. But you know what? The fact that we're able to do it now, I think we're all totally fine with that, because we got there. So, like I said, you can't look back on any decisions and feel like, oh, that was wrong, because whatever brought us to this point, I love it.
I like the, I'm just thinking, imagining that, okay, you're talking about 10 years. Say 10 years ago, you guys had come across the bottle of wine. And then as a group, you say, you know what? It's going to be the hardest thing we have to do, but we've got to wait a decade before we open this. And it was the right thing to do. It was the right thing to do. Even, you didn't know it at the time. You didn't know it at the time, but it's what you had. You went through all the crap, and let's uncork that sucker. That's what it is. That's Curve.
Yeah, that's crazy to think about it like that.
It's
I don't know.
Now it's a perfectly distilled thing. Rain Mehta, oh my goodness, you're going to be here in a couple of weeks for La Fête du Lac, and that's just an amazing thing. It's about time that we get to, yeah, there's going to be corks popping here.
Okay, come say hello.
You know we absolutely will. So thank you so much, and looking forward to seeing you.
My pleasure. Take care.
You too.
Bye.
Bye.